I'm torn this morning. There's a bunch of stuff on my heart and mind. The pastor's been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and I had some things I wanted to share with you concerning the gifts. And I've been personally, Lord has me personally in learning about the kingdom of God. And I've got some stuff I want to share about you about the kingdom of God. But we've been on a series about growing in grace, so I got some stuff I want to share with you about growing in grace, and it's just all over the place. So we ask the Lord to direct our heart and mind that you may receive what it is that you so much desire this morning. It's good that we've been learning about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, as we grow in grace, we've talked about the different levels, and all we're doing is giving you characteristics of those levels. We're not telling you how to grow. We're not telling you, you know, where to grow. We're not telling you what you should do. We're hoping the Holy Spirit lets you know. But if he gives us side marks or bullet points or places that we can understand from the Word of God, you know, he didn't just give it to us, you know. And I remember praying when I was first born again. I said, God, there's too much. There's so much in here. This is too much. It was overwhelming, you know, to me when I first started reading the Word and understanding some of the things he would say. I said, it's too much. And he says, don't worry. I got a process. You let me be the teacher. You let me show you where you come in and go out and what to say and what to do. He said, and you'll be fine. And over my years of being saved, I found that to be so true. There is a place that he wants us to reach. There is a place where the Bible talks about. He gave it to us for a reason. He put Paul's epistles all together in one place to show us some of the things that he desires for us to do and to look forward to reach for. You know, there was one place where Paul talks about pressing toward the goal, you know, reaching higher than where we are right now. Some people don't understand that. They get born again and they think that's it, and they stop. They just stay in that same place. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I don't think God shuns them or feels, you know, bad about anything like that. But there is a portion of his people who want what he wants for them. When you become a young adult, that's stuck in, it becomes stuck in your heart. It becomes one of the things that you can't get out. It's like, I want to become what he wants me to be. I no longer want to flounder back and forth. I no longer want to do what I want to do. I no longer want to seek out of the things that are not for me. You know, when you're a young Christian, you kind of, oh God, I want to be rich. Oh God, I want to have this. Oh, I want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I want to be married. I want to have children. You got all these things that you want when you were first born again. He gets rid of some of those for you because he knows that they're not good for you. But that, you know, you have those things. You're like, oh, your life is, I'll speak about young, but, you know, I'm young, but some people may not think so. I know Caleb and Amaya, you old man. But there are things that we seek after, you know, and my daughter was talking to some friends of hers, and she's been she's been kind of counseling them, and they don't want to go and pray. She said, why they don't want to pray? Because they don't want God to tell them what he wants them to do, and it's going to be against what they want to do. So they want to just go on about their business, do what they want to do, and just forget the God's over there, and that he has the best for them. He's got the best interest at heart for you. God's way is the best way for us, even if it means we've got to cut some things out, some things that we maybe like or may want to do. And you'll find out, and I'm telling you, as I've lived in this Christian walk, you'll find out that those things that you thought you wanted, you really didn't want. You didn't really need them. You didn't have to have them. Your flesh wanted them. Yes, we have a flesh abiding in us. They desired them, but you didn't really need to play all them video games or get on TikTok or Instagram or watch all those TV programs or eat all that food or whatever it is. You find out, I didn't need, compared to the glory and ominous power of God, compared to what you receive from him, it's, Paul considered it all what? You remember that script? Paul said, I considered out all my education, all my leadership and administrative power and everything, my fame, everything I got, he said, I consider it but dung. I had a fellow brother in the Lord who asked the Bible study leader at the time, "What dung? What's dung?" The leader responded, "Dookie, man, dookie." He considered it waste. Paul did. Our intellect, my master's degree, my PhD, my bachelor's degree, my high school diploma that I may have, my nurse's LPN or my VPN or my GPN or my... I messed up some of those acronyms, but you okay. But he considered it a waste to obtain Christ, the anointed one. Why is that? It is because he understood that there is another purpose for those who are called by Jesus, whose name is in us. There's another purpose for us, other than those purposes that we attain to in the worldly sense. Not saying those things are bad for you and that you can't go and do and have jobs and do all the work that you have right now. I'm just saying that we have to consider, what is my real purpose here? And he outlines that for us in the Word of God. Believe it or not, it is outlined what God wants each of us to do. Not alone, with him. That's one of the things that he says. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be, let me see if I can get this right. He's not only going to be in us, we know that his spirit is in us because we've got the recreated spirit of God. That's because we have received him. He's in us. He says, but I'm going to be with you. With you. That means that not only is he going to be in us, he's going to be beside us, around us, upon us. Within and then on. Like clothing. Like we're clothed with him. Beside, clothed in. I mean, that's saturated through and through with the Spirit of God. Some of us are afraid of that. We don't want, well, how close do you want us to be to God? Well, think about how close that he wants us to be. He says as close as the breath that's in your body is how close he wants to be. Matter of fact, he is that close. Remember Jesus' purpose in the earth. When he came, the 3.5 years that he was here, what did he do? He came to preach, or he did come preaching, the kingdom of God is here. Not by observance with your eyes or touch with your fingers. But it is here and it comes with healing, raising the dead, and casting out devils. Some of you have shunned away from that part that when the kingdom of God, Jesus preached it, said when the kingdom of God is here, I'm coming. And when you know it's here, it's going to come with healing, raising the dead, and casting out demons. And you can equate that to a summary of, it's going to come with all the gifts of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is going to come with manifestations of God. In one another place, he says that the kingdom of God is the presence of God. Wherever you find the presence of God, you're going to find the kingdom. Wherever you find the kingdom of God, you're going to find the presence of God. Wherever you find the presence of God, you're going to find God and all his manifestations. The young adult Christian knows this. He is fervently focused on manifesting the kingdom of God. He has a sole purpose. His heart is rooted in the Word of God. He is reading His Word. He is studying His Word. He is trying to find out what is the secrets of the Word that God wants to give me. This is a young adult Christian. He's moved past newborn. He's moved past childlike behavior. And he's into, I got to be the man of God God wants me to be. The woman of God God wants me to be. This is what his heart is seeking after. He said, I'm tired of them messing around over there. I'm tired of them messing around over here. I'm tired of what the world's doing. I don't want to do anything that's in the world anymore. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. My focus. I got to find out. I got to know what it is. Jesus, help me. God, help me. He says that the anointing, right, that's in you will teach you, bring you to the place of those things that you need to know. He, through Paul, says that, you know, that he God gave gifts to men, right, the ministering gifts, so that we could use them to build up the body of Christ, which tells me that the body needs some building if Paul put that in there, inspired by the Spirit of God. We need to be built up. We need to be, we're going somewhere. It says, actually, that you're being built up to a spiritual maturity in Him. Why do we need spiritual maturity? Lots of born new Christians, we talk about newborn Christians a lot, and I'm telling you, they're all over the place, and they can do some strange things. Because they still holding to their flesh. That mean, and that's nothing they can't help it. That's what newborn Christians do. They flip flop back and forth. Oh, I want to do this for God, and then all of a sudden they're over here, going to, you know, parties and dancing and, you know, smoking and whatever. And then they, oh, I gotta go back to God. And then back over here until what they get a hold of what God's got for them, and they will grow. It'll take some of them some time there, you know, because we know that there are some 80 and 90-year-old Christians who are still there. They haven't decided that they want to go further than that they received Jesus and repented, and that was it. They said, that's all I need to do. I'm going to heaven. Well, that's fine, but there are some of us who God has said, I want more for you. Do you see more? He's opening up your eyes, and he says, come on. He's drawing you bit by bit into a better, another place, a place of responsibility, really. He's building us into fishers of men, actually, because the world needs to know about his salvation. The world needs to know, really, about his kingdom. Now, I'm going back and flip-flopping, I know I'm flip-flopping back and forth here, because I want you to understand in the context and the wholeness of this, it's us who are operating in the kingdom of God. Can't do anything in Jesus. The knowledge, the wisdom that we gain, the things that come from him are because we are accessing the kingdom of God. When you and I walk this earth in our homes, in our places of employment, wherever we go, we are taking with us the presence of God. If you don't like to say kingdom, you can say the presence of God. We don't know it all the time. We don't sense it all the time. We don't get goosebumps and our hair doesn't stand on end all the time. But I want you to know, if you are born again today, if you have said yes to Jesus and he is living in your heart, you have the presence of God with you. Everywhere you go. Everywhere. This is something the newborn Christian hadn't got a hold of yet, or the child. But the young adult man, he begins to say, wow, I have the kid. And it makes you hone your attitude and your behavior, things that you thought you might say or you might get mad at or you might pop off with somebody, you catch yourself because you know you are a representative of the presence of God. Now, I know that flesh will hop right on you, boom, before you know it, and you done blurted out some words and cut somebody down. It happens to all of us. But the Bible tells us that we have what? Advocate with the Father, that as we repent, and you can do it right then. You can repent and say, Father, forgive me. And guess what? The love of God can flood you back again. And in an instant, you can be back into the presence of God. Some of us let the devil beat us down. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to you this morning about, being a young adult Christian, is that you and I, it tells us, explicitly, emphatically, without a doubt, a guarantee that you and I have what? Overcome the evil one. The Bible tells us that. We have overcome the evil one. We have overcome. Where does the evil one exist? A lot of times he exists in our flesh. And I want to's. I want to get mad so bad. Oh, I want to hit them so bad. Oh, I just want to curse about so bad. You and I, young adult Christian, have overcome the evil one. We know it comes from him. We know he's the one that's urging us on. Go ahead. Just tell Louis. Just tell him off. Just tell him. He's been on your nerves. When he gets back, oh, buddy, I'm going to give it to him. 1, 2, 3. That's the enemy. That's the evil one. Trying to use your flesh, what, to overcome the kingdom of God, the presence of God that's in you. Only you can hand it over. Only you. Only you. They make a sly remark. They're quick. Snap your head off. You felt it. You saw your head roll on the floor. And you said, oh my God, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell her. The Spirit of God says, shut. What do you do? I go pick my head up. Put it back on my shoulders here. And I just walk off. Funny, easy said than done. You gotta watch it. But it's still a fact that we have overcome the evil one, right? There's no in between there. There's no, what do you mean? What do you mean? I got that. Okay, let me read you some scriptures, because I know you're probably thinking, what's he talking about? The young man, it tells us, there's two things. He tells us to beware of false prophets, right? And then he says, you have overcome the wicked one. Young man, one woman knows the word of God and therefore are aware of how false doctrines can steal away the heart of the believer. Jesus warns us about false prophets, and the New Testament teaches us about how to discern between the true word of God from a true spirit-filled prophet and a false prophet. He also warns us of the many antichrists that are now in the world today. An antichrist is a teaching or prevailing thought from a person or group that is against the Christ, the anointed one, or against the anointing, the Christians. Because Christians are, Christ means anointed one. Christians means the anointed ones. And so anti-Christ is anti the anointed one, against the anointed one, against the Christians. False prophets, false spirits, what the devil, you know, he's against us. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. beware, false prophets. This is what they appear like, right? They appear like sheep, but they're wolves. Matthew 24:11-24. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. We've heard those scriptures before. Pastors went over when he was talking about discernment of spirits that we've just gone through. Mark 10:19 says the same thing. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness or defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. It's a summary of the Ten Commandments. Don't bear false witness. Don't be a liar. Defraud not. We have a lot of fraud stuff going on. Everybody's got a phone. We know spam comes in. We know email. People are looking to defraud us. Don't be a fraud. Don't be a scammer. In simple terms. Mark 13:22. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were even, the elect. So where does that place us? That place us in a place of knowing something. We got to know something because the false prophets are coming and they're looking like us. That's what a fraudster and a scammer, we're learning so much about it through technology today, how they design their websites to look just like the legitimate website. And there's an experienced eye who can tell the difference. Oh man, that email's coming from my electric company and they want me to click on this and do something. And we say, it's the electric company, so click. And it only takes one. One click and your whole computer is compromised. So what do we've got to be aware of the enemy's tactics and be able to see and hear when God said, don't click on that. He tells us every time. I'm sure of it. Only reason why we don't hear is because we are, come on, not listening. Forgetting that I am in the presence of God right here. Even as I do my work and type on my computer and send out letters and do emails and talk to people on the phone, blah, blah, I am in the presence of God. Some people have gifts that allows them to see it more quickly than others and to react more quickly than others. I'm talking about my wife. She will quickly make a friend out of a stranger on the phone. The Verizon caller that calls to do something or say something or whatever it is, will quickly, all of a sudden, they be talking about all kinds of stuff. They be all talking about the bill. They talking about, the children, and they talk about, how she do that? Some people have gifts. It just moves right on it. Countless, I can't tell you over the years how many testimonies she's got from that. The people in Canada, people in California, down in Florida, everywhere. They call from all kinds of places. She's on first name, basis with them and talking to them about the children. Sometimes praising, worshiping God because she found another like-minded Christian doing their job. I'd be like, how'd that happen? I'd be on the phone. They don't be sounding like they won't talk about anything. Me. Some people have a gift to do that. But aware, you and I, aware of the presence of God. That's all. Aware of God, that we are in and we walk in God's kingdom all the time. Never forget it, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Never forgetting. This is the young man's heart. you know, we're talking about moving in the gifts of the Spirit and wanting more of signs and wonders to happen, it's because you and I become more aware of the kingdom of God, that we're in the kingdom. Oh, that person didn't say hi just because they wanted to say hi. Maybe they said hi because they wanted a little more. We don't know. Only the presence of God knows. He knows that heart through and through. You meet him on the street, and before you know it, you're talking about God and inviting him to church. Because of the presence of God. Your stronghold, your power, your fortress, your shield, everything that you need in comforting you and able to do that, that's what he gives you at that particular time. You just have to be aware that that's it and flow in it. And it will also tell you that's not a right spirit. Be careful. Careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Don't click on that. Don't answer that phone call. Don't click on that text message, because it's going to be bad. And they got all kinds of tricks now, y'all. All kinds of tricks. And sometimes I think we hear that the bell ring, ding, that's enough, that's that we can't go no more. And yet we ignore the bell and we keep going. I know several friends got a call from I don't know if it was a bill collector or something similar to that, and they need to pay, you have to pay this in order to, you know, balance your budget, or you have to pay this in order not to go to court, or you need to pay this, or, you know, the police are going to come get you, whatever. And so this person said, oh my God, I got to pay. And he says, well, they take out their credit card to pay, and they say, well, you can't use your credit card. Can't use the credit card to pay the bill, or whatever it is. You have to go down to a place and get, and this happened, you have to go down to Belk's and get a Belk card, a $500 Belk card. Your bill is $2,000. You have to get four of those Belk cards, come back to the phone, and give this guy that's on the phone the four numbers and the PIN to the four Belk cards to pay some other bill that's not even related to Belk. And I'm thinking, the enemy comes with a shroud, a cloud. This young woman was a Christian. I would have considered to be one that was further along, that would not have gotten this particular scam. But she did that. I was like, oh my God. And then the four cards, oh my God, something happened. They didn't go through. Oh, you got to go do it again. Same, no, so they would have to go to another Belk store, because I think Belk won't allow you to buy so many cars, I guess. She went to another Belk store, did the same thing again. And I was like, when did it catch you? When did the Spirit of God come in and go whoosh? And go, this is enough, enough. You have lost $3,500 and didn't even know it until she realized that, wait a minute, why am I giving it? Because after that, the second time, he said, oh, they didn't go through. They were going to do it a third time. And she stopped and realized that she lost $3,500. She called the police. Of course, there's nothing she can do because it was all under her permission. She permitted it. She allowed it. Nothing she could do. You heard about the lady in Roanoke? The guy called her on the phone and said, hey, I got a summons for you. The cops are coming. You know, you owe $7,000. You got to give it to the court clerk. A clerk to court. He got her so riled up that she is like, I gotta pay this bill. she goes down. He says, you got to go down to this convenience store and you got to buy cryptocurrency and you have to pay that way. And I'm thinking, come on, catch on. I don't know if she's saved or not, but she didn't catch on. She had called her daughter because she was babysitting her granddaughter, and she told her daughter about it, and her daughter said, Mom, don't go there. Mom said, gotta go. And she's like, oh my God, I gotta go get my mom. Because she could only do one transaction at one place, right? So she had to go to another place and do, because that transaction messed up, it didn't go through. So she had to do it again to the tune of $15,000. This lady gave this money to this guy. Called the police. Daughter finally found her at the convenience store and said, Mom, stop. Had to physically grab her and say, stop this being deceived. He comes with a shroud. $15,000 gone down the drain. She was distraught. She didn't know what to do. Now, God was looking out for her because on her homeowner's insurance, there was a rider for scam and fraud. She was there to get all her money back because of her insurance. Not a lot of people know about that you get fraud insurance. Well, it was a rider on her homeowner's insurance. Isn't that how God works? You go and you do something stupid, and he bails us out. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. But the enemy is coming and he's stealing. He's stealing, and you and I need to be shrewder in dealing with him and the way he comes. Anyway, okay. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It says every spirit, not every flesh. It says every spirit, not every flesh. It says every spirit. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even already now in the world. So if this thing is operating under some spirit, that spirit that it's operating under cannot confess that Jesus has come. The flesh of that man or woman who's doing that, they can't say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus coming to the world. So you've got to discern whether they're speaking about the spirit or about the flesh. Oh, you said, oh my God. Oh, how you know? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. Some of you have said, I talked to a person and something cuts across your spirit. You feel it. Physically, it's like a red sign that says, stop! You feel it on the inside of you. Some of you physically feel it. It's nauseating. So we know you got to be aware. People who are young adults who are ready to go out with God know some of this stuff that we're talking about today. Luke 10:18-19, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. 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 To tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is how we stand up and how we go out and how we do what God wants us to do without any fear, because we know we have power over all the power of the enemy. In one place, I think it says authority over all the authority of the enemy. Nothing by any means might harm you. We operate like this. This is why we enter into the lion's dens. Go places, or we find ourselves in the lion's den. And we're like, ooh, lion, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. We have power over all the power of the enemy. We have to stand firm, amen? In the presence that we have. Here we go. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we use those scriptures. I'm taking them, you know, maybe some of them out of context a little bit, but I want you to see the appeal, the power, the word that gives us authority over the enemy. You know, I used to fear him, the devil. I used to believe that he could do stuff to us. And not that he can't do stuff to us. I used to think that, oh, I got to stay away from him. If there's somebody that looks like they're operating in the spirit, I think I need to go in the opposite direction. I'm just telling you, being honest with you, I run from him. I said, that guy, he's weird. Let me get out of here. We don't have to run anymore. I remember getting a hold of this scripture and going, I don't have to fear the devil any longer, because I have power over him through the kingdom of God, exercising the presence of God. Jesus has already defeated him. As young adult Christians, we know this, and we will fight the enemy wherever he is. These things, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about that. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus is saying that I have overcome the world. He says, since I have overcome the world, then you have overcome the world. So now the world is interesting, because remember, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. This is some of our problem, because we can't tell the difference between the world and the Spirit of God. We need to get a revelation of what's the world and what is the kingdom of God. God says he places his kingdom, which is over all kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, which is the world, cannot overcome the kingdom of God. It is higher. It's more dynamic. It has more power than the world. But if we don't recognize what the world is those things that are pulled at our flesh and tug away at our existence through worldly means. Our job can be one of those that pulls away. It's supposed to help us and support us in our Christian walk, but we can let it go the other way. Our families, our husbands and wives, our children, our relationships, those are all worldly stuff. And we can allow those things to pull us away from God. Hundreds, I dare say millions, of people do. Allow their work, allow their families, their relationships, they allow finances, they allow all kinds of worldly stuff, politics, to take them away from God. Just because the enemy comes like a what? He's like a sheep, an angel of light. He appears like, oh, he's doing good stuff. Oh, that looks good. Oh my God, it could be God. If you find yourself saying, it could be God, you should run. Oh, God could do that. Oh yeah, God. He comes as an angel of light. He's trying to shift you away from the presence of God. Ominous. You say, why is that important? Well, because in God's presence we are obedient to God, therefore the power of God is accessible. If we're operating in the world, there is no power over there for you. It ain't gonna work, because it's not under the kingdom of God, where you and I have to exercise that. So there is a conscious settling in your heart and mind. I am going to do this God's way. I'm going to be obedient to God in this. You've asked God in your prayer time, you say, God, what about blah, 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 blah? You don't hear anything. God is not coming or he's not speaking fast enough for you. So your impatience gets ahead of you. And you decide, well, oh, I'm just going to do this. It's in the word. I can see it. It's in there. So I'm going to go do this. God hasn't spoken yet. In a lot of places, that's a test for you and I. Will you wait on him and his wisdom and his expertise in this hour, in this time, when your flesh is crying out, I gotta do, God, you give me, I can't wait another day. I can't wait a week, a month, or a year. And so what do? You get ahead of God. And you do something. And God has to come and bail you out. You say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that so that you can understand that this thing that we have is greater than all of that. If he doesn't answer, don't do nothing. That may be the answer. He is not trying to stomp you out. He is not trying to, I'm going to get on Julie's nerves today. You know, I don't like her that much anyway. So I'm just gonna make her wait. The Bible tells me that he gave and laid down his life for us. How could he not, with all things, give us, with himself, give us all things? So he's not wanting you to suffer. He's not. He's not wanting you to do any of those things that your mind conjures up. But if he doesn't answer, the kingdom of God, the presence of God, works by the obedience of those who are in the kingdom. We have to understand that we need to obey with the word on what God says to us at those times. I know we don't want to, and boy, we get on our high horses. We're gonna just do it. You know, because we know the word. You know, I know the word. I'm a minister. I know the word. Can't tell me. And you not waiting on him. It's very important. He takes it very seriously. Remember Saul? Told Saul to get rid of all them I can't remember, the Amorites or something. They were fighting against the Philistines. So. Kill them all. Everything. Get rid of the cattle. Get rid of the sheep. Get rid of the land. Get rid of the people. Saul said, well, the people want the spoils, so let's just keep a little, some cattle and some sheep. I think he kept the king alive. And God said, because you have disobeyed me, I am snatching away the kingdom from you. He lost his kingdom, not only for him, but for his whole family. Right. Nobody in his family will be or could become king because of his one disobedience. We are under grace today. Thank God. We got more than one chance. Hallelujah. We ought to be jumping up and dancing right on that. Because if we only had one, woe be unto us. But because of his grace, he gives us more than one chance. Amen? When we are disobedient, we have an advocate with the Father. We can fall on our knees and repent and say, Father, forgive me. I want to do better. Help me. And he does so. Right standing with him. I got a couple more scriptures. Hold on. 1 John 2:13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. He's Paul writes to the young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Because you have overcome the wicked one. This is not an afterthought for Paul talking to a young man saying, you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. Not you're thinking about overcoming. Not you're under think about, but you're the overcomer. I have overcome the wicked one. Next time you pray, some sickness attacks your body, remember this. I've overcome the wicked one. Wait a minute. I have overcome the wicked one. I've overcome the, I have more power than the authority of the enemy. Wait a minute. Can't attack my body just like that. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. We'll get into some of those father things later when we get to that level. I have written unto you, young men, women, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. That's the word of God. He is telling us that. You ought to put your foot down and say, God, darn it. I have overcome the wicked one. I'm not going to let this financial adversity overtake me. I'm not going to allow this sickness to do any harm to me anymore. I have overcome the wicked one. This is what the young man starts thinking. I need to attack this thing. You know, you get your stuff up and get your flaps all up. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do right now, but I'm going to get it. God's going to show me something, and I'm going to make it plain. Amen. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God, makes it even more simpler, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you have overcome the world. The world, and you got to be keen about it, because we are in the world, not of the world, but we are in the world. We got to be able to discern what's the world and what's not the world. See, because those things are just, they'll just creep right on up beside you. They'll just be doing the boogie right on beside you. And you'll be thinking, let's go. You'll hook up with it, and it's going on, and you in the world. You think you're the Christian and you doing the good thing, and you are following after the world. You are not to do that. Me and you are not to do that. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Get in the Word, find out what the Word of God says about it. Come on, Louis. And do what the Word says. Do what Jesus is saying in the Word of God. Do what you hear in your spirit, man. Say, I'm going to do this, God. And it may be far against what's going on in the world. It may not even sound like, oh, dang, all those people are doing blah, 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 blah. Well, you want to go the way that all the people go? Or you want to go the way that God goes? For you. Now, I don't know how this works, but you know, God can speak to this person and tell them to go this way. God can speak to you and tell you to go that way. And, you know, your may look different than that other way. And you may think, dog, why did she get to go that way? God, what she said, God told her to go that way. Well, she's gone. Just because God told you to go that way don't mean every Christian that he speaks to has to go this way. So y'all got some stuff messed up in your minds now. You got to get this right. You got to get this right. Well, that's because the pastor is going this way because God told him to go this way. But if God tells you to go this way, and I'm not saying they're in the opposite direction, I'm just saying it's a different way. You need to go the way that God's done. He's even told us that. You need to hear the God. You say, what's the point there? The point thing is that you can't always listen to what the pastor's saying, because if the pastor's saying something different than what the Spirit of God is telling you, you can be in trouble. Wow. Would the pastor ever tell us? No, he's not telling you. He's not telling you something that's wrong. He's just telling you something different than what the Spirit of God is telling you. Listen to the Spirit of God. You say, well, is that going to bring a you're trying to turn us against our pastor. Oh, my. What are you doing up there? Pastor, we don't want Curtis to see, talk. He's trying to turn us against you. Oh, my God, he wants to lead on us. We want to follow what you're doing, Pastor. We want to do, we want to fall in the ditch when you fall in the ditch. What? You don't think that can happen? I think our pastor's great. I don't think he'll fall in the ditch. But I'm telling you, it can't happen. Just to give you an example of what you and I are supposed to be doing. Listening to the voice of God. Hearing what the power of God is saying. Not getting away from the presence of God. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. Staying where God wants us to do. Stay. So, I got a few more, but I'm going to stop right there. I think you get the message. I think you understand where we are and what we're to be doing. As a young adult Christian who understands where God is moving us and growing us to, I didn't say what the pastor's already said. Every one of us in here has a gift, a manifestation from God. And that young man, he's like, I'm not getting out of here until I get mine. I'm not moving another time until I hear from God what it is. Now, it could be as simple as, you know, I'm supposed to massage, you know, Julie's feet. That's my gift. I'm exaggerating, of course. But if you got it, you better do it. But you understand what I'm saying. That young man's like, I got to know what it is. I want to operate in what God wants me to operate in. I want to do what God wants me to do. You can't be obedient without knowing. He said you all have an manifestation from him, and you can't go forward without knowing. And it could be as simple as, everybody needs a hug. I'm going to give them a hug when they need a hug. Now, that's different from all of the power gifts that we talked about. But it says there's operations, there's administrations, and there's functions, multiple diversities of them. So each one of us could have a manifestation of God totally different than any other person in this very room. Can you get that? And he wants you to know what it is. Why? Because he wants you to operate in that gift. Because what's going to happen? It's going to bring people onto the place where God wants them to be. It's going to lead people down that place, you know, to meet Jesus. It's going to show forth the glory of God. It's going to talk about the presence and the kingdom of God. That gift, you have to operate in. And you say, well, Curtis, you're using strong words, have to, and blah, blah, blah. I'm saying what the word says. He's giving them to it for the manifestation. Unless we decide, I need to know. God, I need to know. Unless we start asking, you may never know. The graveyards are full people who had gifts and manifestations from God and didn't do anything with them, and they left this earth without knowing. Let's not be a church like that. Let's be a church that at least know. It may, and you may have several. It may be that I'm supposed to go around and rub all the bald-headed men in the sanctuary. And I'm just trying to add a little levity to what it could be. It could be literally whatever it is God placed in your heart. It could be the thing that you've already been bent to do. You could be already doing it. But to know that it's a manifestation from God kind of perks it up a little bit, doesn't it? Kind of makes it like, oh man, I know now that when it starts to operate, the kingdom of God is right here. The presence of God is here. Oh, man. What can happen in the presence of God? Amen? Let's pray. Wait a minute. Before we pray, Pastor, you had said that you were going to pray for people that wanted to know what their gifts were. Did you do that already? You invited them up and said, you want to pray. Well, I'm going to open that up today, that the pastor and I will pray for you. If you want to know, if you just wanted some extra prayer, that's all it is. That's laying hands on you and believing God that he's going to endow you with whatever it is he wants for you to do, that you'll have a clear understanding, that you'll be able to operate in that thing, and that you'll know. I've only heard of one person, well, two people, who had the gift of healing outside of, you know, these TV evangelist people that you hear about, people who wrote books and stuff, that had the gift of healing. I thought, oh, because I was thinking, man, where is that gift? Where's the people that have the gift? Because he said he'd give it to them, right? Now, I know a lot of people who prophesy. I know a lot of people who can give words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Know a bunch of people who can do that. A bunch of people who speak in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Discerning of spirits, I've heard that one. You know, and seen people operating that gift. Miracles, gift of faith. I heard a couple of people have that. But miracles, I haven't seen. Well, I know of a few, but those are people that have come before us and have written books. But don't mean that they don't exist. And I'm not saying that you should pray, we're going to pray for you that God gives you one of them. We're going to pray that God gives you whatever gift he has for you. We're not going to pray that he gives you one of the nine gifts, because we don't know if you know, that's what his will is. But sometimes you need to grab hands with people and be in agreement, and we can encourage one another to continue and to focus on what is it. And I'm not saying that you may not know. I mean, he may not say, oh, this is the gift, Susan. This is, ba-ba-boom, here's the box. It's wrapped up in a ribbon. Go open the gift, you know, that kind of thing. It may take a little while. But if you want us to pray, because I believe that God wants to share that with you, if you don't know already. I'm going to pray now. If you want to come up for prayer, please do, okay? Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love. We thank you for allowing us to receive you and to understand all the things that you desire for us. We do desire to grow. We do desire to be used by you, Lord. We do want you, Father God, in our lives and to operate daily, not just occasionally or just sometimes. We want to know. Father, as our sister Sharon shared on Wednesday, Father God, we want to know when the presence of God goes with us, even when we go to the bank, Father God, even when we go on our jobs, if we're whatever we're doing, Father, teaching, or Father, if we're students, Lord God, studying, if we're business owners, Lord God, we want to know that your presence goes with us. And Father, we can bring forth, Lord God, whatever manifestation it is that you desire. We pray with all our might and our soul, Father. We desire this so much. And Father, we will be obedient. We declare right now that we will say yes, Father God. We won't hesitate, Father God. We won't be embarrassed, Father. We'll take, Father God, the reins of this, whatever it is that you're asking. We'll be obedient, Lord, and we'll do it in Jesus' name.